If God is real, why does he seem to hide? If only he would put on a big display or speak in a thunderous voice or give a direct, immediate answer to every prayer, it would be easier to believe in him, wouldn't it? Stay tuned. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and the topic we'll be dealing with today is, Why Does God Hide?
God exists, and if he wants everybody to believe in him, why does he hide? Why doesn't God show himself or do something so spectacular that it leaves no room for doubt? Many of us wonder about that. The late philosopher Norwood Russell Hansen taught at Yale University. Hansen didn't believe in God, but he said he'd be willing to change his mind under certain conditions. Hansen wrote, Suppose that on next Tuesday morning, just after breakfast, all of us in this one world are knocked to our knees by a percussive and ear-shattering thunderclap. Snow swirls, leaves drop from trees, the earth heaves and buckles, buildings topple and towers tumble. The sky is ablaze with an eerie, silvery light. Just then, as all the people of this world look up, the heavens open, the clouds pull apart, revealing an unbelievably immense and radiant Zeus-like figure, towering above us like 100 Everests. He frowns darkly as lightning plays across the features of his Michelangeloid face. He then points down at me and exclaims for every man, woman, and child to hear, I have had quite enough of your too clever logic-chopping and word-watching in matters of theology. Be assured, in our Hansen, that I do most certainly exist. Hansen went on to say, Please do not dismiss this example as a playful, irreverent, Disneyoid contrivance. The point here is that if such a remarkable event were to transpire, I, for one, should certainly be convinced that God does exist. Doesn't Hansen have a point? God could certainly make it a lot easier for everyone to believe in him, couldn't he? Sometimes it seems that God keeps himself so well hidden that it's hard even to believe he exists. Why doesn't God silence all scoffers by making a public appearance? The hiddenness of God isn't just a problem for atheists. The prophet Isaiah was no atheist, but he still wished God would do more to show himself and to demonstrate his power. In Isaiah 64, Isaiah prayed, Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. When Isaiah said this, the Lord had been keeping a low profile. It was hard for God's people to trust him, and easy for God's enemies to ignore him. Isaiah wanted God to come out of hiding and unleash his power for all to see. Isaiah wanted the Lord to do pretty much what N.R. Hansen suggested. Sometimes, even when you know God exists, he still doesn't feel very near, and his ways don't seem very clear. You wish God would do something dramatic, not just to silence unbelievers, but also to encourage believers. Many believers go through spiritual dry spells. Maybe you know what that's like. You believe in God, but you don't really sense his presence, and your heart feels empty and dry. That's how David felt when he wrote in Psalm 42, As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? It's hard when you're panting for God and he's nowhere to be found. The problem becomes even more intense when you're feeling crushed by hardships and pain, and God remains hidden. You call on God, you pray to him with all your might, but nothing happens. the cancer keeps advancing, or the marriage keeps crumbling, or society keeps going downhill. You keep praying, but God keeps hiding, and the only answer you get is silence. As the writer of Psalm 88 put it, "I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" Good question. Why does God hide when it seems we need him most? Why doesn't an atheist get a revelation of God that he simply can't deny? Why doesn't a Christian going through a spiritual dry spell always get a supernatural experience to refresh her spirits? When people in trouble pray and pray, why doesn't God give them a miracle, or at least an explanation? Why is it so hard to see God at work in the events around us? In Isaiah 45, verse 15, the prophet says, "Truly you are a God who hides himself." Why is that? What possible reasons could God have for hiding himself? We'll think about that in a moment, but first, some music. Here's Michael Card.
In the ebb and flow of living, as we wander through the years, we're told to listen to a voice we can't hear with our ears. They say to live by something that you can't see with your eyes. Is there really any purpose to this foolish exercise? Could it be you make your presence known so often by your absence? Could it be the questions tell us more than answers ever do? Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? In our words and in our silence, in our pride and in our shame, to the genius and the scholar, to the foolish and insane, to the ones who care to seek you, to the ones who never will, you are the only answer, even still. Could it be you make your presence known so often by your questions tell us more than answers ever do? Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? It's a question you can't answer, an answer you cannot express, that the gentleman of sorrow is the source of happiness. Never solve the mystery of this magnetic man, for you must believe to understand. Could it be you make your presence known so often by your absence? Could it be the questions tell us more than answers ever do? Could it be that you would really rather die than live without us? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you? Could it be the only answer that means anything is you?
David Fettes here, and on today's program, we're thinking about the question, why does God hide? This program and many others are available anytime on our website, backtogod.net. We can't see God, and often we can't feel him or understand his ways. Most of us, at one time or another, could echo Isaiah's words, "Surely you are a God who hides himself." You might think that if God exists, he should show his face and remove all possibility of doubt. That's what you would do if you were God. But be careful what you ask for. When you demand to see God's face, you may end up with more than you bargained for. According to the Bible, the day is coming when the Lord won't hide any longer. He's going to do exactly what unbelievers say he should do if he's really God. Jesus is going to crack open the skies, he's going to shake the earth, and he's going to make a public earth-shattering appearance that will leave no room for doubt. He will show himself, and everyone will see his face. However, the moment the Lord does that, it will be too late for those who don't already belong to him. Listen to this vision from Revelation 6. There was a great earthquake. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" These people would rather be buried in a landslide than stand in God's awful presence. His face is an unbearable terror to them. When the Lord stops hiding himself, they will try to hide themselves. They will find God's majesty and purity unbearable. If you say you won't believe in God unless he shows himself openly and convincingly, watch out. If God met your demand, you wouldn't just calmly change your mind and say, "Well, now I've got my proof. I guess God does exist after all." No, you'd instantly be terrorized and repelled by the awful splendor of God, and you'd be lost forever. When God hides himself, he leaves room for doubt, but he also leaves room for repentance. When God stops hiding, there will no longer be room for either doubt or repentance. The Lord's face will have an eternal and overwhelming attraction for those who have learned to love him in his hiddenness, but his face will have the opposite effect for all others. His irresistible holiness will repel them and send them hurtling away from him into the oblivion of hell. So don't be too quick to demand the kind of encounter with God that will occur only at Jesus' second coming. First, make sure you've accepted the Lord in his first coming. In Jesus, God came as a humble man rather than in divine glory. The Lord hid himself in humility in order to reveal himself in a form that would save us rather than destroy us. God's hiddenness may sometimes be a source of frustration, but don't forget, it's also the source of salvation. At one level, then, we can say that God hides himself because he's patient and merciful with sinners. He's giving more time to repent and to prepare to meet him face to face. Still, you might wonder, even if God hides his face in order to spare us, couldn't he make himself a bit more obvious? He wouldn't have to show himself directly. He could just do a few supernatural things now and then to prove he's alive and well. Why doesn't God do more miracles to impress us? Well, God has done some amazing miracles. He parted the Red Sea for Moses. He toppled the walls of Jericho for Joshua. He sent fire from heaven at Elijah's request. But even if we believe these amazing stories in the Bible, they don't really solve our problem. We haven't seen the sea parted lately, or walls tumbling, or fire from heaven to prove unbelievers wrong. Jesus himself performed many miracles during his time on earth, but today we don't see miracles on the scale of Jesus' miracles. Oh, there may be an occasional reduction of arthritis pain, or an unexpected recovery from cancer, or an amazing occurrence once in a while. But miracles like Jesus performed? When was the last time you saw someone blind from birth given his sight? Or 5,000 people fed out of one lunchbox? Or a man walking on water? Or a dead person raised to life again? Even if the Lord hides his face in order to spare us, why doesn't he at least show more of his hand and reveal himself through miracles as mighty as those in the Bible? That's a tough question, and I don't have an easy answer. In some ways, the answer is as hidden as God himself. But here are a few things to keep in mind. One is that God is the creator and sustainer of everything that exists. He's constantly at work, even when he's not doing what we might label miracles. The ordinary workings of creation are God's work, just as much as the extraordinary working of miracles. Without the eyes of faith, we may think God is doing nothing, when in fact He's doing everything. He's upholding and directing all things in the universe. Another fact to remember is that God is free. God can do miracles whenever He pleases, and God can refrain from doing miracles whenever He pleases. God can say yes to our prayers for a miracle, and God can also say no. He's God, we're not. He's free to do as He pleases. Still another thing to remember is that miracles don't have a very good track record of changing people's hearts. If you don't love God already, you're not going to start loving Him just because He gives a supernatural demonstration. When God sent the 10 plagues on Egypt, Pharaoh simply became more stubborn with each plague. When God gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness, they grumbled more than ever. When Elijah called down fire from heaven to demonstrate God's power, Queen Jezebel tried all the harder to kill him. And when Jesus did his miracles, his opponents either tried to explain them away or else credited those miracles to the power of Satan. Jesus' supreme achievement didn't occur in any of his miracles, but in his death. His miracles didn't remove anyone's sin. Only his death could take away the sin of the world. The ultimate revelation of God's glory didn't occur in impressive miracles, but in the disgrace of the cross. Nowhere was God more hidden in deeper darkness, and nowhere was He more clearly revealed than at the cross. So if we look for God only in miracles, we may never find Him at all. But if we look for God at the cross of Christ, we'll find Him every time. We tend to have our own ideas of where we should be able to find God and what God ought to be like. We imagine that God ought to do what we would do if we were God. If we were God, we'd use our power every chance we got. We'd show off a little. But the Lord often prefers weakness to power. If we were in charge of the world, we'd grind our enemies into the dirt and give our friends every miracle they ever wanted. But the Lord is often kind to His enemies, and He puts His friends through difficult trials. If we had been in Jesus' shoes, a ridiculous thought since we're so unlike Christ, but if we had been in Jesus' shoes, we'd have taken every opportunity to prove who we were. But Jesus often preferred to hide Himself. Even when Jesus did miracles for people, He often instructed them to tell no one. And He always refused to do miracles when His opponents demanded supernatural signs. Even when He was being tortured, Jesus refused to use His divine power. Some mockers laughed at Him and called for Jesus to come down from the cross if He were really their Messiah and King. But Jesus took the abuse and kept hanging there. Is that what you or I would have done if we had the power to rescue ourselves? We wouldn't have kept suffering. We'd have saved ourselves and put the hurt on our enemies. But Jesus stayed on the cross and kept suffering until He died. Even after His resurrection, the Lord didn't do what you or I would have done. If we were in Jesus' place, we'd have made a grand appearance to the entire city of Jerusalem and said, "I told you so." Instead, Jesus appeared to some people who loved Him, a few hundred in all, and then returned to heaven. Everybody else would simply have to take their word for it that Jesus was alive. You and I would not have handled things the way Jesus did. That's one more proof that God is God and we're not. He's not like us. He isn't like we imagine Him to be. He doesn't do what we expect Him to do. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Lord doesn't consult us when He's deciding what to do. He does things His way, in His time, for His purposes. As the Apostle Paul put it, "Religious people demand miracles, and educated people want wisdom, but the gospel message is Christ crucified." That sounds offensive to miracle lovers and crazy to intellectuals, but to those who are being saved, Christ crucified is God's power and wisdom. If you want to find the God who hides, You can't just look where you'd expect him to be based on what you would do if you were God. You need to seek God as he really is, and you need to know where he's hiding. He's not hiding in a logical proof or a sensational miracle. God's favorite hiding place is in the message of the cross. That's where you'll find him. Here we see another reason God hides himself. He wants to humble us. The way of God is the way of the cross, and the way of the cross is the way of humility. The cross humbles us by showing us that we're sinners in need of Jesus' sacrifice. And the cross humbles us by ignoring our demands for supernatural signs and logical proofs and showing us that our qualifications don't count for much. The Lord is God, and we're not. We have to depend on him completely for our salvation and for everything else. Only then are we ready to know him at all. Only then can we meet him face to face. But what if you're already a Christian? Why would God hide himself from you? You've trusted in Jesus' death and resurrection. You've trusted the Holy Spirit to fill you and lead you. And yet, you may still have times when God seems distant and far away. Your soul is dry. Your heart feels empty. You're going through a spiritual drought, and God is hiding. What's going on? Or maybe you're facing a terrible tragedy or hardship. Awful things have been happening, and God hasn't done much to improve the situation in spite of all your prayers. Why not? Why would God hide himself even from someone who already belongs to him? Again, I don't have easy answers, but let's look at this from the opposite angle. What would happen if you felt close to God 24 hours a day? If you always understood everything God was doing in your life? If you never found anything in the Bible puzzling? If all your prayers were answered with a yes? And if God gave you all kinds of supernatural abilities? Sounds like heaven on earth, doesn't it? But what would really happen? The Bible gives an example. The church in the city of Corinth was one where God gave people great insights and miracles and supernatural powers. But this church, with all its knowledge and blessings, turned out to be terribly unspiritual. They were so proud of what they knew that they became know-it-alls. They became so satisfied with miracles and supernatural experiences that some of them even thought the resurrection wouldn't be necessary. They thought they already had it all. They didn't need anything more. What happened in Corinth shows what can happen to us if God pours too many good things on immature Christians who still have many sins and weaknesses. If we know too much, it can make us proud. We think we can figure him out for ourselves. We think we're experts on God. We become proud that God is our pal, that we know him up close and personal, and a lot of other people don't. Knowledge can lead to pride, and blessings can lead to complacency. If our lives are one spiritual high after another, one answer to prayer after another, if God makes everything go just the way we want, we could get so satisfied with life here and now that we don't much care whether Jesus comes again to make all things new. Who needs the second coming or the final resurrection? We've already got it all. But if we are less comfortable, less complacent, we're more eager for Jesus to return and more eager for the new heaven and the new earth. That may be at least part of the reason God hides himself, even from Christians, why he allows us to go through spiritual dry spells, why he sometimes sends trials instead of blessings. God hides himself to make us humble, and he hides himself to make us hungry. He makes us humble by showing us how little we know him or understand his ways, and he makes us hungry for heaven by letting us feel the pain and brokenness of this present world. Right now, we're still a long way from heaven. We see dimly. Only later will we see face to face. We walk by faith, not by sight. We must not only trust in Christ crucified, but we must walk the way of the cross ourselves. This doesn't mean we should stop longing for heaven. It just means we realize we're not there yet. It doesn't mean we stop longing for a richer relationship with God. It just means we realize how far we have to go. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul wrote, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. According to Paul, one of the most important things you can know about God is that no matter how well you think you know him, you still don't know him very well at all. What matters is that God knows you and that he's moving you to love him. In Isaiah 45, the Bible says, "Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God and Savior of Israel. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced." Just a few verses later, this God who hides himself says, "I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said, 'Seek me in vain.'" It's hide and seek. God hides so that we will seek him. For only the seeking heart, the heart that is humble and hungry for God, can ever be ready to know God as he truly is when God chooses to reveal himself. Sometimes God teaches us more by making us ask hard questions than by giving us easy answers. God shows as much about himself by what he hides as by what he reveals. The Lord shows enough of himself in Christ and in Scripture to give us faith and hope and love. And at the same time, he conceals himself enough to make us humble and to make us hunger all the more for the day when we see him face to face and he makes all things new. Let's pray together. Truly, you are a God who hides himself, Father, and we praise you for that. Hide yourself from us for as long as it takes to make us humble and hungry, and then refresh us with the joy of your nearness in Christ. Give us a share in the suffering of the cross, that we may also share in its glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. Our messages can be read or heard anytime on the internet at backtogod.net. And if you'd like a free printed copy of today's message, just write us and ask for it, called Why Does God Hide? Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you prefer a cassette or CD of the broadcast, you may have one for $5. The name of the message again is Why Does God Hide? And the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. You're invited to visit our website, backtogod.net. There you can listen to any of our programs or study them in print, and you can email us your comments or questions. You can also sign up to receive a free meditation each day by email to help you in your daily devotions. And you can sign up to get free weekly email transcripts of David Fettes' Back to God Hour messages. Sign up is simple. Just go to backtogod.net, type in your email address, and hit the subscribe button. Again, the website is backtogod.net. And if you have email but aren't comfortable with websites, just write us with your email address and we'll gladly sign you up to receive daily meditations and weekly program transcripts. Write the Back to God Hour, P.O. Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The Back to God Hour is a worldwide ministry of the Christian Reformed Church.